Blog Talk Radio.
There's a direct relationship between having the businesses and being in prison. Go find an Asian, see how many Asians you can find in American prisons. They ain't gonna be in there. But 51% of your prison will be black because blacks don't have any businesses and industries. There's a direct link. Blacks won't practice group economics. Black won't practice group politics. If you don't practice, you're setting yourself up. I told that five-story building, you're setting yourself to get wiped out. Understand the nature of race, which is economics. If you build the first floor, it's economic. Build your businesses and your industries. Control buildings and industry, and put that pulls in your money, and hold that money, and practice group economics with it. Arab and Asian money bounces 12 or 13 times for a lead. Jewish money bounces 18 times. Black folk got to learn how to practice group economics. Black Americans spend every penny they get outside their own community. Then you take the money and the wealth that you get from that first floor and go to the second floor. The second floor is politics. You then take that money on the first floor and you control your politics. Black folk must quit allowing people to tell them to go out and vote. Vote for what? Nobody's going to do anything for black folk in politics. Politics is controlled by money. Major corporations, who got the money? That's what controls politics. If you have no money, you have no say-so, you have no benefits coming. So you take your money and you control and you take your money on the first floor, you buy every politician on the second floor. And any politician you can't buy, you rent or lease them to get what you need. Then once you get the second floor under control with the politician, with your money, then you go to the third floor. The third floor then is the police department and the court system. You take your money from the first floor and your politics on the second floor and you control the court system and the police department. Then the fourth floor, then is media. You then take the money that you generate off the first floor from business and industries and you go after radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and cable systems so that you can now inform and communicate with your own people. Right now, black folk own and control less than 35 thousandths of 1% of the media in the United States. Out of 12,000 radio stations, black folk own about 75 or 80. That's all. You own no cable systems. You don't have a daily newspaper. You have nothing of importance. You got about one black TV station. So you can't communicate with your people. You can't inform your people. You can't do anything. You can have Rush Limbaugh and all the rest of the guys talking about racism all day long and bad-mouthing you. And O'Reilly, they can call black folk all kind of names all day long. What are you going to do? You can't respond. You can't even communicate with your own people because you don't have an economic base. 51% of all the prisons in the United States are black people. You know you only make up 12% of the population. That's no accident. It's because you don't control the economics and the politics. And they're going to go after the weakest people they can get their hands on to incarcerate them. That's the black folk. And what are you going to do in response to them when they over-incarcerate you? You're going to go out and have a march, a demonstration. We're going to march. March, who cares? Marching, they never changed it.
I got in a huge tax situation in 2008 because my divorce was in 2005 and my accountant had gotten in cahoots, and next thing you know, my accountant died and a girl that worked for him called my lawyer and said, "We have a problem." She had found on the floor all my tax forms for 7 years, signed and with the checks stapled to them. So I'm thinking, I done signed and I done stapled the checks. Well, they were cashing the checks, keeping the money, and not turning in the tax form. They took the money out of the account that matched the exact, because I wasn't watching it.
So like, you could just see $100,000, $600,000
deducted. So I'm thinking it's the check. Little did I know, it was some people taking the money out.
For 7 years?
For 7 years.
How much money did that?
I ended up owing $22
million. Wow.
$22 million with the penalties. So now, wow. Listen to me, man. Me and my wife in 2008, I get the call. And the way I found out was, my lawyer called me and said, "Hey, man, we got a problem. You haven't paid taxes in 7 years. "Man, what are you talking about? I paid taxes. I've been writing the checks and all this here." "Oh, man." He said, "This woman found your taxes in your accountant's office on the floor. Every check I had written and every was stapled together for 7 years, quarterly taxes, all of it. So he said, man, that's tax evasion. You can go to prison. And I said, what are we going to do? So he said, hold on, man. Let me get some lawyers. So he called up some tax accountants out of Chicago. These boys was the best. And they set me down and they said, man, we got a major problem. He said, I got a friend working at the IRS. Let me take the first year. We took the first year and we sent it in. And he said, man, well, this is an old tax return. He said, man, we got a problem. He got more, but he didn't know it. And so we need a tax payment plan. So the tax payment plan was so astronomical that it was no way I could pay this. So the deal was if you miss one payment, we come and seize all your assets and you go into jail. That was the deal. So the way I found out I was in real bad trouble was my accountants, my former manager, lawyer, got on a conference call to discuss it. But they sent out an email with the conference call number to my assistant. But it wasn't supposed to go to me. She inadvertently gave it to me. I wasn't even supposed to be on the call. So when I logged in, they were already talking, and I just didn't announce myself. And I heard them say, nobody can live under this amount of stress. There's no way he can pay the back taxes, pay his current taxes, and his living expenses. And I heard a guy on the phone say, what are we going to do when he goes to jail? And I hung the phone up. I went upstairs. I said, Marjorie, Dawson, Marjorie, we got a problem. When I explained it to her, Marjorie started crying. She sat down and cried. My wife cried for 2 straight days. She said, Steve, what you going to do? I said, I'm going to go to work. I took every comedy gig in this country. I signed every contract. I went to work, man. I worked every single Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I went to every venue, the Verizon, Staples Center, MCI, Phillips. I sold out the Fox. I went everywhere. I stayed on the radio, man. I'm coming, sold out. I never missed a payment. And for 4 years in a row, I was sending $650,000 a month to the government. Plus, I had to pay my current taxes. I couldn't get behind on nothing. And I was living. So I was credit cards, running them up, paying them off. And finally, man, in 2012, I sold 49% of my radio company to iHeart. I got a check, man. I got me a check. And then, so I paid the government completely off to zero. And that was the first time, man, I could breathe. And then the pay-per-view, I said, let me get out of stand-up because my wife said, Steve, you finna be a major TV star. You're going to have to stop telling the jokes you're telling because you're going to ruin your career. Because she saw the political correctness turning. And so she said, Steve, you can stop if you want to. I said, baby, I can't ever stop telling jokes. It's who I am. She said, well, okay, but you got to watch what you say. And all of my TV shows are sponsor-driven. The radio is sponsorship-driven. I said, man, let me get out of this because I need time to go do more TV. And so I did one last comedy show, but I did it on pay-per-view. And little did I know, for $8, you could watch my last show. I had no idea how many people was going to tune in for that. I made a lot of money. It was the biggest single paycheck I ever made. And next thing you know, I was back. Now learn this from Joel Osteen. That's my man. He be texting me. That's my man. This God done put some people around me, show me some stuff. He was telling this story. He said, this man that went to heaven, and he was walking with Peter down this aisleway, and it was going down this corridor, had a lot of doors on it, and said all these doors had names on it. And he said, Peter, let me ask you something. What's all these doors, these names on? He said, don't worry about it. Just go ahead. So he kept walking, And Master Ronnie saw one of them doors and had his name on it. He said, whoa. He said, hey, Peter, this here ain't got my name on it. Something I need to know? He said, man, don't worry about that. You here now. Just go on in there and talk to him. See what he said, nah, I won't know what's in the door. He said, you sure you won't see what's in the door? He said, yeah. So he opened up the door. It was a warehouse. It had nothing but shelves on it. And then the shelves had nothing but packages. And all the packages had his name on them. And he said, what is all these boxes? He said, that's all of the blessings, all of the things God wanted to ship to you. But number one, you didn't ask him for it. Then number two, you didn't believe you would have it. Then you doubted him. And then you felt like you wasn't worthy. And so now all these boxes is up here. Now the man standing there wishing he had never even been in the room. And I started thinking. I got some dudes that work for me. And I said, I want you to do this graph for me. And that's what I'm finna show you now. See, what you happen is, when God sends your package, he only sends it to one street. That's Faith Street. You got to stay in faith. You can't move off of Faith Street. You can't get on Doubted Drive. You can't be over there and start doubting it, because your package going to go right on by. You can't lose your faith and get on Not Meant to Be Way, because your package is going to keep going right on by. Because the package just go to Faith Street. You can get your little feelings hurt, I ain't worthy. Guess what? Your package going to keep going right on by. You have not because you ask not. Then you sit up here and start feeling sorry for yourself. You go on Pity Way, your package keep going right on by. If you stay right on Faith Street, don't ever come off, because the blessing is coming. If you wait on it, here it comes. It may not come when you want it, but it's on time. But if you get up and you move off of Faith Street, your box gonna get sent back to sender. And now you're gonna have a warehouse with a bunch of boxes with your name on it that you didn't never get. And I don't know about you, but I want everything he got for me. If he got something for me, I need all of mine. Because I don't know about you, but God lay you out, man. God will give you stuff. Man, he done took me places I ain't never thought I was going to go. I done seen parts of the world I never even thought I could go to. He done gave me stuff. He done put people in my life. God will do it for you, man. But you just got to stay, man. Use these principles of success. Understand, God is just that way. He'll lay you out. Because if he can lay me out, see, if he fix me and change me and get me over here trying to do better, I ain't perfect. I'm just trying to do better. I still say some stuff I ain't supposed to say. You understand? I ain't got it all together yet. I just got in the gate. I'm a new kind of Christian. But ain't no lock on my gate either. So if you see, once you check me, I'm probably going to check you back. But I'm getting better at that. I don't know how to love my enemies yet. I'm getting better at it, though. But it's a process. And the more times we can make people understand that it's a process, the more people can come in. And y'all people that have been good to me, that have been praying for me. I mean, man, my mama, if she could see me now, I just wish my mama could see me. Because she's been praying for this hill all her life. Watch my son. Well, he done watched me, mama. And I'm cool now. And my philosophy is very simple. I was who I was, but I am who I am. And I'm cool with both them people. Because who I was wasn't that bad a cap. I made some mistakes, but I've been changed a little bit. And it's still a process. And the more people that you invite into the process, the better this is. Because ain't nobody perfect no how. So I really appreciate y'all, man, hearing me and listening to me. I'm going to ask Kirk Franklin if he will come.
Well, you're about to discover, maybe for the first time in your life, that wealth is not money, and money's not wealth. Real estate's not wealth either. Neither is gold or silver. What is wealth? I believe that wealth is one thing. Wealth is the value that you create for someone other than you. That's what wealth is. Wealth is the value that you create for someone other than you. And so the more we develop our ability to create value for other people, the more wealthy we are. And the reason I say money's not wealth, think about it like this. If you were stuck on a desert island and you had hundreds of millions of dollars in cash, what would it be worth? Nothing, right? If you're stranded there, nobody knows you're there, nobody can find you, all that money doesn't do you any good. If you're there with another person, and they have food, and you have water, and they have no water, and you have no food, then your water becomes your wealth because you can trade them some of your water for some of your food. Are y'all tracking? And so everything that we desire, we get by giving somebody else something they desire. The more value we create for other people, the more wealth we have. It's just that simple. Now, money is one of the stores of value. That's what money is. Money is a store of value, and it's also a way to transfer value. It's also a way to represent value that you've already created, right? So if you think about money as like a certification, right? Like it's a certificate that proves that you've created value for someone other than yourself, right? And so, like, if you go to Eddie V's and you're a nice person, right? And you say, well, I would like for y'all to serve me some food. They are going to say, okay, we'll serve you some food, but at the end, they expect you to produce proof that you serve somebody other than you. And that proof shows up in the way of money, right? Because that's all money does. Money shows people that you deserve to have somebody create value for you because you can prove you created value for someone else, right? And here's what's really cool. All of us are good at different things. So we all have different value that we can create for other people. And if we keep the value that we create to ourselves, it doesn't really do us that much good. But if we spread the value, the value that we create for other people, if we spread that around, then it becomes more valuable. Now, here's what's really interesting. I can't create value for someone until I know what's valuable to that someone. So wealth creation has, like, a lot to do with discovery, like discovering what other people value. And if I'm going to know what other people value, then I got to know where do those values come from? Like, where do values come from? There are things you value that I don't value. There are things I value that you don't value, right? And there are things that we both value, but you might value more than me or I might value more than you. Huh. So where do our values come from? Okay, I believe the first place that values come from is past, perceived, I'm just going to do PERC, perceived voids create present pursued values. Are y'all tracking? Past perceived voids create present pursued values. What does that mean? That means if I feel like something was missing in the past, I will work in the present to fill the void I had in the past, right? So that's why if people grow up in a place where they're in, like, dire hunger conditions or feast or famine, they value food, like, at a very high level, right? That's why people who, so for me, like, I like cars. I like them. I like cars. I grew up working on cars, right? But I grew up in a family where when I was growing up, my parents never bought a new car ever. They had seven boys. Here's what boys do. They eat you out of house and home, right? Boys can just, it's like they're a bottomless food pit, right? And I can remember, like, if I was in elementary school, if I was going to eat a sandwich, I wouldn't eat a sandwich. I'd eat two, three, or four sandwiches, right? So, but I like cars. And so we grew up with buying $50 cars, $100 cars, and then working on them and driving them until they broke down. Then we go buy another $50 car, $100 car, and we had no car payments, right? So I like cars. I used to see people with nice cars. I'm like, why do they have nice cars? We don't have nice cars, right? So that's a past perceived void in my life, right? So it became a present pursued value. Some people are like, why do you have all these expensive cars? Well, expensive is a relative term anyway. I don't even, like, that's really relative. Like, it depends on, like, what is expensive to you, right? So, but the reason I, like, have a collection of, I say a collection, I've got some very nice cars is because I like cars, because that was, for me, a past perceived void. I work out. Why do I work out? Because in the past, I've been out of shape. And in the past, my body hurt. The more out of shape I was, the more my body hurt. So that's a past perceived void that created a present pursued value. Are y'all tracking? And so a lot of times we don't even know where these things that we value came from, right? I value entrepreneurship. Why? Because in the past I used to have jobs. And they always came with a boss. And I don't know. The word boss means, like, they're going to be bossing me around. That's what, like, they're going to tell me, like, can I go? No. And I can't even finish the question, right? Can I have? No. And I don't like to have to ask for permission. I don't like permission. In fact, the best way to get me to do something is to tell me I can't do it. I'm that dude, okay? I know none of you entrepreneurs are that way, right? So you started business because you love people telling you what to do. Okay. Judgment-free zone. And so I like autonomy. My parents, great parents, they weren't perfect parents by any stretch of imagination, which is why I did not become a perfect parent. Okay, so but they were great parents for me and my brothers, right? And they were very authoritarian. Like it didn't matter if I was 7 or 17. Why? The answer was always going to be the same, because I said so. Right. So I liked autonomy. So when I wasn't at home, I didn't like teachers telling me what to do at school. I didn't like my parents telling me what to do at home. And then I got a job, and the boss wanted to tell me, and everybody wanted to tell me what to do. And I know it's my own little weirdness going on in my mind palace, but like you got yours, I got mine, and I don't like people telling me what to do. So I want to live as autonomous. Now, I want God to tell me what to do, but I don't like humans bossing me around, okay, because their motive is suspect. God's motive is not suspect, right? Right? And that's why I don't like it when people on my team call me, oh, this is my boss. I'm not your boss. I don't even like the word boss. I don't have an outfit that matches a boss. You don't have an outfit that matches a boss. So unless we're talking about business optimization success secrets from boss moves, then again, that's a different story. But not bossing people around. Anyway, so y'all get it. Past perceived voids create present pursued values. But also, the second place values come from is present, pursued, pursued victories create present pursued values. So present pursued victories, the things I'm working towards winning right now, will cause me to value that thing. And so I've got to value. I want to win. So because I want to win, okay, for instance, I'm going to put my son-in-law on blast. So my son-in-law, I mean, we're really, really close until we get on the golf course, and then we try to beat each other's brains out. It's great. Okay? So he wants to beat me really, really bad. I want to beat him really, really bad. And for a while, I just beat him all the time. And then, like, I lost my mojo, and then he beat me all the time, and he was sending his mom text messages like, there's a new sheriff in town, and then his mom would call me, and I'm like, is this really happening? Okay, cool. So I started working on my short game again, and so now it's like the last three tournaments we've had, we play three-round tournaments, and we have this trophy, and every time you win three rounds, you get to put your name on the trophy. No, it's not on the news, it's not on ESPN, nobody knows but us, but we relish this victory so much, right? And so what we do, because we both want to win, is we both spend time working on our game, because present pursued victories create present values. So the things that we felt like we're missing in the past, that creates value for us. The things that we're working on winning in the present, and then the last one, is future pursued. I think I spelled that right. I don't know. Pursued visions create present perceived values. So what does that mean? That means I can see an outcome down the road that is worth sacrificing right now for. So I'll sacrifice the short term on the altar of the long term. I'll sacrifice like my pleasure right now because I've got this vision down the road. And I'll take some time off of playing golf, and I'll take some time off of practicing my guitar. I'll take some time off from something I want to do for me. Like, okay, give you for instance. I am a foodie. If I wanted to, I could easily weigh 400, 500, 600 pounds. It would be easy. Like, I like food. You say, what kind of food? Almost all kinds. I mean, I don't like pork, and I don't like shrimp, and I don't like yucky stuff. It's disgusting. But I like to eat. And the better it is, the more of it I like to eat. I'm just keeping it real. Like, brother man can throw it down. I can fling it down. Hear me when I tell you. I mean, where are my foodies? Where are my foodies? Okay? But because I have this future vision, right? Like, I've got this future vision. I've got a granddaughter. She's 3. One of the highlights of my life, my entire existence on this planet as a human, was when I got to dance with my daughter at her wedding. That was a highlight for me. Okay? So, one of my future visions that I have is to dance with my granddaughter, not at her wedding. My 3-year-old granddaughter. She's not going to get married at 3. That's not what I mean. Like, my granddaughter who is 3, when she becomes an adult, one of my objectives is to dance with her at her wedding. Well, let's say she gets married when she's 21, like my daughter did. Okay? She'll be 4 in July. So that gives me 17 more years. Well, in 17 years, I'll be 79, right? You know what that tells me? That tells me as much as I love food, and I do love it, I don't like it, y'all. Hear me when I tell you. If I'm going to eat something, I want it to taste. I don't even want to waste any time eating food that don't taste good. Okay, y'all tracking? Like, I'm the guy who, when I make spaghetti, I season the water I boil my noodles in. I'm that dude. Okay, how many of y'all tracking? Okay, now y'all know who y'all dealing with. Okay, so, just keeping it real. Okay, but because I want to dance with my granddaughter at her wedding when she gets married, I don't eat food until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And I drink water in the morning, and I have a window to eat between 1 p.m. and 9 p.m. It opens at 1 with a protein shake, then I'll eat some snacks in between, like some carrot chips or some celery or something good with some different whatever dip I decide. I'll mix some honey mustard and some ranch, and I know that's not healthy. I don't really care. This is my vision, y'all. You do you. I'm going to do me. Okay, I know that's not the healthiest thing in the world, but it's what I do right now. So if y'all want me to do better, pray for me. Okay, so. And then I'll eat dinner. So but I'm going to make sure my protein shake is really, really good, and I'm going to make sure my snacks are really, really good, and I'm going to make sure when I eat dinner, look at him, is really, really good. Okay, so what am I telling you? I'm telling you my value comes from something that I desire that's way in the future, that I'm willing to sacrifice right now on, right? It's too many people, they don't understand that today is yesterday's tomorrow. And they act as if the actions they take today have no consequences in the future, right? And so the definition of sacrifice is to let go of something of a lower nature so you can take a hold of something of a higher nature. And the best way for us to live our lives, it's like it's been proven, it doesn't matter whether it's in finances, whether it's in health, whether it's in relationships, it doesn't matter what arena we're talking about, sacrificing the short term on the altar of the long term always ends better than sacrificing the long term on the altar of the short term. It always does. It's just like a principle of life. Okay, so now I know when I'm looking at my particular marketplace in whatever particular niche I'm looking at, then I know what I have to do if I want to create wealth is I have to figure out how to help somebody fill their past perceived voids, or how to win their present pursued victories, or how to fulfill their future pursued visions. How many of y'all checking? Okay? So now when I'm looking at somebody, I know what kind of value, how to discover what you value. Because you're going to value one of those three things. Whatever you're working on in your life is probably going to fit into one of those three categories. Now, wealth is the result of value creation. The better your ability to create value for someone other than yourself, the wealthier you are. And sometimes that'll show up as money. Sometimes it'll show up as real estate. Sometimes it'll show up as like hard assets like gold and silver. Or it'll show up as digital assets like Bitcoin and Ethereum. But at the end of the day, whatever you pay for with money that you earned by creating value for someone other than yourself. So the very act of entrepreneurship, by its very nature, has to be self-sacrificing if you're going to win as an entrepreneur. How many of y'all got it? Wave at me. Say, I got it. Wave at me. Okay, good, cool. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at what God set up in Genesis chapter 1, and I call it the four levels of value. So because here's what y'all, like, here's one of the things I think we don't understand sometimes. All value is not created equally, right? What does that mean? All value is not created equally. So I can say, well, but I created this value. Yeah, but the problem is either you valued it or maybe one other person valued it. You wonder why. Like, if you're not doing well financially, I'm going to tell you why. Because the pool of people that you've decided to create value for is very small. Or the value that you've created for them, they value it at a very low level. Like, it's not like a big deal, right? I'm going to pay more for a car than I am for a pair of shoes. Why? That's a bigger value. Why? It can take me farther faster than a pair of shoes, right? So watch this. So, like, even if I go to eat at Ocean Prime or I go to eat at Eddie V's and it costs $500 for dinner for, like, seven people or whatever, I value that more than I value the money, number one. But I also value it because it gives me the time that I want to spend or invest into the people that I care about the most, and I don't have to make the food. My wife doesn't have to make the food. My daughter doesn't have to make the food. My son, my son-in-law, we can just sit down. We can go to dinner. We can pay somebody. They make all the stuff. Like, we don't have to go in the kitchen and do anything. We don't even have to open the refrigerator. It's amazing. They just keep bringing it to you. And then you don't have to clean off the table. I mean, if you don't want to, you don't even have to put your own pepper on your food. They'll put the pepper on for you. This is amazing. And then, when you get done, you don't have to clean the table up. You don't have to wash any dishes. You just leave. What? Sign me up right now. How many of y'all checking? Like, so we have to get to the place in our lives where we realize that all value is not created equally, right? So while I'm giving you things that are not created equally, let me give you something that is created equally. Because all value is not created equally, all no's are created equally, but all yeses are not. What do I mean all no's are created equally? If you do a presentation to a potential client who does not have the wherewithal to buy your offer, and they say no, it feels the exact same as if you do a presentation to somebody who does have the wherewithal to buy your offer, and they say no. A no is 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 a no. Does that make sense? Okay. But if you talk to somebody who does not have the ability to take advantage of your offer, and you make an offer to that person, and they say yes, that's very different than when you talk to a person who has the desire to take advantage of your offer, and they say yes. They have the ability. One has the ability, one doesn't have the ability. Those are two very different yeses. All no's are created equally. All yeses are not. Why would you invest time talking to people who have neither the desire nor the willingness to buy your offer? That's why I don't do high-pressure sales. I'm just not interested in it. I don't need your money. I don't want your money. And if I got to drag you in, I'm going to have to drag you around. Like we would all do better if we would just realize there are already thousands, potentially tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of people, maybe even millions of people in the world who would love to purchase the value that we create if they only knew we existed. And if that were really the case, then I would be better off to spend my time to make myself findable than I am trying to find somebody to sell something to. Is what I'm saying making sense? Okay, so all value is not created equally. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, God gave us the four levels of value. The lowest level of value is implementation. Implementation, oh, by the way, let me say this. Wealth is, it's like the value we create for other people, but here's what we have to understand about wealth. Wealth is a spiritual result. What do I mean wealth is a spiritual result? Well, let me ask you a question. Is it more spiritual for you to think about you or for you to think about someone else? Which one? Someone else. It's more spiritual for you to think about solving the problems of someone other than you. Okay? So wealth is a spiritual result. By the way, wealth is also a spiritual result because creativity is spiritual, right? And so if you're going to create value for somebody, that's also spiritual. So watch this. So the lowest level of value is implementation. What do I mean? This is like if you're creating value for other people at the implementation level, you have limited. Who's limited? Everybody tap yourself on the chest, say I have. You've limited your ability to earn. Why? Because you're only going to make somewhere between minimum wage and about $80,000 a year. Well, that sounds kind of painful. Why? Because you're using muscles, which are a physical resource, over time, which is a limited resource. So you're literally using a physical resource over a limited resource to produce an unlimited spiritual result. No wonder you're stuck. This is why I tell people, now, if you just love mowing grass and you want to start a lawn care company, that's fine. If you just love pressure washing, you want to start a pressure washing business, that's fine. You can make money and create a level of wealth, but a limited level of wealth with a pressure washing business. You can. Or a landscape business or a janitorial service. But here's the problem. You're anchoring your income generation to time and physical labor. That is always going to pay you at the lowest possible level. Why? Because muscles are a physical resource. Time is a limited resource. Wealth is an unlimited spiritual result. Okay, what's the next level? The next level is unification. Unification on this level, you're going to make somewhere between $40,000 a year and maybe if you're like at a Fortune 500, Fortune 100 company, you might make $250,000 a year. Well, that, how many of y'all know $40,000 to $250,000 is better than minimum wage to $80,000, right? That's a better window. But, I mean, do you really, and maybe you do, but do you really want a whole year to go by and you only make $250,000? I mean, that's a question we have to answer for ourselves. And for some people, the answer is like, man, if I had a year went by and I made $250,000, that's more than $20,000 a month. Sign me up right now. Okay, great. Sign you up right now, but probably not sign you up forever, right? Can I get a witness, right? Like, it's not a bad place to start, but it's not where we want to land, okay? What is this? This unification on this level, the resource we use on this level is our management skills. Managing people is a higher spiritual activity than doing the thing yourself. Are y'all tracking? That's why when people get into management, they make more. This person over here, they're making tacos at Taco Bell. They're making minimum wage. This person might be a mechanic working at a Rolls-Royce dealership or maybe a Mercedes dealership or BMW dealership. This person right here is managing Taco Bell. This person right here is a middle manager at Lockheed Martin. But the reality is if some company is paying you $250,000 a year, they want you to know they own you. Am I telling the truth? They want you to know. They don't just want you to know they own you. They want you to know they know it. Right? And so like, if that's what you desire, that's fine. But maybe there's a way to have a level of freedom beyond that. And I believe that wealth begins to be created above this line. Wealth begins on the level of communication. Communication. On the level of communication. Now, somebody said the quality of your life will be equal to the quality of your communication. Okay? So communication, the resource you use on this level is your mouth. Now, there's a caveat. You have to have a mouth. You have to be willing to learn to use it. To do what? Create messages that move the masses. It's amazing that this, all of this, is harder than this. But to become a person who's skilled at this is harder than just doing this. What do I mean? Some people will maintain a state of physical diligence so they don't have to develop a level of verbal diligence and verbal intelligence and verbal acuity, right? I don't want to have to learn how to talk, so I'm just going to go ahead and keep on working my fingers to the bone. Well, that's one way to do it, right? Okay. Well, so communication. On this level, low end, you should make at least $100,000 a year. If you can sell cars, you can make $100,000 a year selling cars, selling insurance, right? Selling advertising, $100,000 a year. But on the high end, you might make $100 million. Why? Because you're using your mouth to deliver value. Well, Myron, what do you mean $100,000? Like, you know who these people are? These people are salespeople, right? They're also authors. They write books. Like, our books probably make us $400,000 a year. Just books. I wrote them once. Just get paid for them every day. What is it? It's a message communicated. It's like these words that came to my mind, and they actually came out of my mouth. Like, I communicated a message that makes me hundreds of... I communicated messages. One of...
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Vanessa's Van Life Journey. I am Vanessa, and I live in a van, and her name is Treasure. But right now, where is Treasure, y'all? Where Treasure is, y'all? I don't see Treasure, y'all. Treasure done ran away, y'all. Anyway, you guys, I am here today in front of my new home, you guys. I still have Treasure, so I still do van life. But I also have a travel trailer now, you guys. I purchased this travel trailer yesterday, you guys, and I am going to give you a empty house tour. This is my first travel trailer. I am so happy. Excuse my French. Excuse my look, y'all. I know I look rusty, dusty, and crusty. And yes, I am all of that because I have been cleaning my new home, and her name is Blessing. If you want to know more about how I got this travel trailer, just make sure you leave it in the comments down below and let me know if you want me to do a story time on how I got Blessing. So I'm going to show you guys Blessing. I guess I'll show you the outside of her first, and then we could go in the inside and do a empty house tour. Yay! I'm so excited! Is y'all happy for me? Look, is y'all happy for me? Not are you happy for me? Is y'all happy for me? Y'all! I got a house. I got something that I could stand up in. I got a bed, y'all. I ain't got to sleep on the floor no more, y'all. Come on, y'all. Let's take a look. Okay, you guys, so this is my new home. This is a travel trailer. This is a 1988 resort. I'm going to have to look in the front to see the full name of it. But this is my little travel trailer, you guys. It's not big, but it's big enough for me. So let me go around and take y'all around the front. The front of my travel trailer, this is where they have spaces for two propane tanks, batteries, and this is a Terry Resort by Fleetwood, you guys. So this is the outside of the trailer. And if you come around on this side, this is the other side of the trailer. And this is just all the stuff that I really don't know anything about. And that is the top of the trailer. So we have three windows on this side. This is the kitchen window. This is my window over the bed. And this is another window that would be over the bunk bed area. Thing is a whole window for the front of the van, I think. Or I said van, I meant trailer. And this is the outside. I do have a covered patio area. I am renting the spot that my trailer is in, but my trailer, I purchased it. It could be towed away, and I could take it to wherever I want to. But for now, we're just going to continue to pay for the rent in the space that it was already in. And as you can see, I have a big window here. That's like the window over the kitchen area, over the table. And then this window right here is over the bed again. And then we just go in the inside. So let's go in the inside, you guys. What are you waiting on? Come in. Into my tiny home, my little travel trailer, you guys. So as you come in through the front door, you can close the door here and lock it. There is a little switch right here where you can turn the light on and off as you come into the door. And there is a little area right here where you could just drop your, I guess this would be like a sofa table where you could just drop your keys, put your purse down right here. And there's also a little cabinet under here where you can grab your, put your purse in there, put your shoes in there. And there's also a fire extinguisher under here as well. And there's also a little area where you can just kick your shoes off and just leave them there. So that's this area when you first walk in. And so no matter what time or day or night you come in, you can turn on a light when you first come in. And over in this area right here, there is a closet. I have some stuff just thrown up in here right now because I'm doing an empty home tour. And so I just threw my phone stuff up in here. So that is a closet. And then we have a drawer under here. We have two drawers underneath the closet. And next to the closet is our bathroom, you guys. We have a bathroom now. Yay! We have a whole bathroom, you guys. I have a shower, a bathtub, a sink, and a toilet. So I will take you guys in there in just a minute. To the toilet, we have a refrigerator that doesn't work. But we're we're just giving you a tour of how the place looks now, because you guys already know that I'm going to put my touch and I'm going to put my spin on it, and I'm going to remodel, and I am going to redecorate. So, yeah. So, and up at the top, there is more storage at the top. There is a lot of storage in this little tiny home. So, and this is an area where you can get to everything that you need to get to. And a little bit more storage. A little, well, not really, because that's all your components and everything down at the bottom. So let me show you guys the bathroom. Guys, as you come into the bathroom, you can see straight away that there is a sink, and there are two shelves under cabinet storage where the sink is, and there is the sink. We have running water, you guys. Yes, baby, yes. And we have a window right here that we can open up to get some airflow in, and hi, we have a mirror right here, and over here to our left, I don't know, do you, there's a certain way to open that one, but over to your left, we have a shelf, so we have a cabinet, so we have two shelves inside that cabinet to store all of our toiletries on the day-to-day. Isn't that nice, you guys? And we have a towel rack right here that we can put a towel on. And, you guys, we have a toilet. Yes! Y'all, this toilet was dirty, and I cleaned it, and it looks really, really clean now. So we have a, I don't know what kind of toilet you would call this, cassette toilet, I don't know. And we have a trash can next to the toilet, you guys. Very, very small space, but it's efficient because it has everything in it that you need. And over here, we have a little small tub, but it is deep, you guys. Girl, I could go scuba diving up in this bathtub. It's so deep, but it's small, but it's deep. And they had this piece of wood already cut out, you guys. And I am loving this piece of wood right here. I could use this piece of wood to sit on. So, yeah, I'm going to actually keep this wood here and transform it, or get me another piece of wood and cut it and transform it. So that is the shower. And we do have a shower head that can come down. And I can also put it over towards the toilet and run water in the toilet as well. And just put that back up. And the water works in the bathtub as well, you guys. And we also have a skylight. And we also have this little thing for the shower curtain. Yes, you guys, that is a blessing, y'all. We have a bathroom. Yes. Okay, you guys, on this side of the travel trailer, we have my bed. And this, I was told, was a bunk bed area, but I guess they disassembled it. So I don't know what I'm going to do with this area, but it was a bunk bed area. So we have the bed area and the bunk bed area. If you wanted to still convert this back into a bunk bed, I guess you could. And over to my right, I have a kitchen, you guys. I have a whole kitchen. double sink, and I have this little thing here that you could raise up and put right there and use as a cutting board for a countertop or whatever. And we have under cabinet storage. We have a little area right here where you can keep your dish towels or whatever you need to wash your dishes with. And we have two shelves at the bottom. And we have three drawers. And this one just folds down all the way at the bottom. And we also have a storage at the top over here. Plenty of storage, you guys. And storage at the top. Two shelves. Over here on this side, we have two shelves on this side. And we have that big window. These are the original curtains that the person that lived here before me made. All this will be coming down, but I'm doing an empty home tour, so I get to show you everything that is in the apartment or in my apartment, in my new travel trailer home, before I get to moving in. So here is a table right here, and I don't know how to do this, but maybe I should have did it. I don't know how to do that, but it does raise up and down, and I was told that this converts into a bed as well. But they removed the other seat that was over here, so I only have one seat in the inside of my little travel trailer. And you guys, oh my goodness, let me show you my most prized possession. Tell me what it is in the comments right below. Tell me right now in the comments down below, what is my prized possession, you guys? You guys know what one of my must-haves is that I cannot live without. And I got, so you guys know, one of my prized possessions that I can't live without is a stove. We got a stove, you guys, and not only do we have a four-burner stove, girl, we got an oven. We have an oven as well, you guys. Now, it's not currently hooked up to propane, so I don't know if it works, but keep your fingers crossed with me, because I hope it works, you guys. We're going to hook this thing up to some propane tomorrow. And I also have a hood over the top. I don't know. Okay. Well. Okay, that's how you turn it off. And that is a light that works, but the light is not that bright. We probably gonna have to change out that bulb, you guys. And again, these are the cabinets over my stove. We have two cabinets in this area right here. And again, the sink area. I am happy, you guys. This is a small space, but as you can see, I could stand up now. I could stand up. And another thing, you guys, we have air. We have air. I turned the air off so I could film this video, but we have air, you guys, so I can stay cool and my brain ain't gonna fry. Like I said, you guys, over in this area, I have a lot of storage as well. On the side here, this is storage here. I can lift this up, and there's under storage here. The place came with a TV and a DVD player. This is my ice maker that one of my subscribers sent me. And there is a cubby hole right here and a cubby hole underneath there. And up here at the top, anything that you want to put up here, when you go to sleep at night, you can put your glasses up here, your water up here, a book up here, a little lamp up here, whatever you want. And again, this is the front window. If you want to take that thing off that's in the front, I'm sure you could take that off and have this window, you know, exposed at all times if you wanted to. And then there is a little light underneath here. I am going to switch out and change out all of the lights, you guys, but that is that. So anyway, that is a tour of my unfurnished, empty home. This is my new home, you guys. I still have treasure, so when I get ready to travel and go on the road, I still will be traveling with treasure. She is still my first home, but this is my second home. We're going to decorate her. We're going to remodel her. We're going to remodel the whole bathroom because the whole bathroom is in shambles and it needs to be remodeled. And we're going to do a couple of little DIY projects in here as well. I'm going to paint the walls, wallpaper, probably backsplash. I don't know. But it's going to have a totally different look when we get through. So let me know in the comments bar below what you think about my new travel trailer. Let me know if you have any ideas for the decorating or the remodeling. And let me know what else y'all want to know in the comments below. So don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Hit the notification bell to be notified each and every time I upload a new video. You know you're going to want to be here for these remodels. And if you are not subscribed to my other channel, Nomadic Therapy, you need to subscribe to the Behind the Scenes channel because I go live every single day and show you guys in real time what I'm doing in real life. You know you nosy, and you know you want to know what's going on, so you better go subscribe to Nomadic Therapy. And you guys, I make it off of the donations and the contributions of the subscribers. And every time you watch one of my videos, every time you see an ad, every time you leave a comment, every time you thumbs up the video, it helps me out a lot. So if you want to support the channel, all my information is down below in the description box below the video. Just look down below the video and click more 2 times and you will see all of my information. Okay, you guys, I hope you enjoyed this tiny home tour of my Fleetwood Terry travel trailer. Thanks for watching. Bye now.
Okay, we're going to open up the mics on this in about 2 minutes. 619-768-2945. We'll be right back. All right, today, Friday, is Faith Factory Day. And let me give you the basic premise of Faith Friday, is we pick out a project that we can build. Well, we can either build it from scratch, assemble it, or renovate something, rehab it, or rehabilitate, because rehabilitate is different from renovate, and put it back on the market for, well, you can either live in it or rent it out or sell it. But that we'll be doing, that's our plan on Faith Factory, on Fridays, Faith Fridays, of where we do the Faith Factory. And you know, it was interesting because we had a guest on last week from Jamaica. But then, what, last weekend? Monday at the latest, I ran across an article of the lady that we just heard a few minutes ago, where Vanessa, she was homeless at one time, and she found a camper for, I think, $200. And for $2,500 all in, got a tiny house with a, you know, regular, well, at least a regular size of, you know, or what do you call it, refrigerator. So we'll have weekend projects available on Fridays. We're going to have one. We do have one. Something that we started last year that we got to complete this year. That really doesn't take long to complete it. Weekend projects, and we got one in the hopper left over from last year, and then weekday projects. And I imagine I'm going to, well, let's start off because we were picking up yesterday. Now, hold on. Before we go to Chris Collins, let's go, because this is just one way to do it. I'm just one person thinking out loud. I'm just one person. A lot of this stuff comes from you guys. If we can go to Facebook Marketplace, I want to get into the mindset of Vanessa here. If we go to Facebook Marketplace and put in local on Facebook Marketplace. Now, what am I looking for? I'm looking for man, categories here. Now, they have vehicles, appliances, auto parts, garage sale, housing. Well, let's go to, I'm looking for a camper. So that might be under vehicles. Vehicle type, car, truck, motorcycle, boat, etc. Let's go by price. Okay. Let's say the maximum price is $500. Actually, I'm up it. $500. Minimum, I'll say $1. Let's see what comes back. We got a variety of things here. We got a golf cart, $450. Some of these are they might be rentals or whatever. Motorcycle, we're not looking for that. Here's a camper. Here's a camper. I have found one for $500. And, let's take a look at this. Let's look at some of the, it's a Dutchman camper. It's a fixer-upper. Okay, but $500. All right. Let's see what else do they have here. I'm not looking for a car. They got plenty of cars on here. Let's see. Filter of price, owner, condition, vehicle type. Let's look vehicle type. Cars, trucks, we got sedans, SUVs, trucks, vans. All right, we're looking for RVs and campers. That's where now we're getting somewhere. So, all right, there are 88 items. So, all right, here's a camper for $250. Here's something for, that's ridiculous. All right, here's another one for $500. Here's one for $80. Here's another one for $500. Here's another one for $300. Here's one for $85. Here's one for $1. They probably just move it. Let's see. Here's another one for $500. Here's another one for $500, a Winnebago Chrysler. Here's one for $390. Crew 2023 cruise RV looks like Shadow. Here's another one for $500. Another one for $250. That's a car though. Okay, so here's one. I know it. They just want you to move it. They're asking $1. A 1989 Chevrolet P30 looks RV. This grass is growing under this thing. So you already know that they want, you to move it. But she bought something for, $200. And there's stuff coming up on here all the time. Here's one for $400. So yeah, in any event, like I said, we can find something that we can rehabilitate and sell and or rent. Probably it's just easier to sell it. Or build from scratch. Matter of fact, that's vehicles. Okay, let's go to what we talk about. Now this is what I like about Facebook Marketplace is you can get geographical. You can laser in on it like that. Where I'm in Lakeland, Florida, I'm just looking in this market. Let's go to. Let's see, Chris, I'm coming up your way. Wait a minute. All right, local. All right, which this will not be local, so I have to switch categories for me. More. Because, look, if you want to Uganda, South Africa, I don't know if they can do Moscow, but you can look around the globe for what they have for sale. Now, let's see. What do you want to buy? I'm going to put in tiny house. Tiny house. Okay, this is in my neck of the woods. Okay, we're going to switch up in a minute. Here's a tiny house that I can buy. It's 12 by 24 for $6,615. That's price to move. Okay, here's another tiny house to sell for $10,000 in my neck of the woods. I would say that's price to move as well. Here's a tiny home kit. Ready for shipping, $4,399. Here's another tiny house. Now, this is $35,000. This is all in my lake of the woods. Now, let's switch up and go to another location. I'm going to go to Nome, Alaska. That's a long way from here. Okay. To supply that. Okay, wait a minute. It's still popping back where I'm at right now. I don't want local. All right. All marketplace. You got to figure out. All marketplace. Okay. All right. Tiny house. Here's another one for $12,000. Here's one. Well, this ain't no tiny house. So here's another one for $24,000. Well, hold on, let me get geographical specific here. Sort by distance. I know they got GPS on this. Okay. Sort by... Because I've looked up things here in specific towns that I'm not in. Let's see. Okay. Let me go back to marketplace details. All right. I don't want local. Oh, wait a minute. Okay. Let me try it again. Nome, I don't want Nome, Texas. They have that on here. Nome, I don't want Nome, Kentucky. Nome, Alaska. Nome's not coming up on here. Wait a minute. Oh, no wonder I had it misspelled. Okay, Nome. They have Nome, Texas. Here we go. Nome, Alaska. Okay, I found it. I'm going to apply it. And now, mind you, I'm in Lakeland, Florida. I'm like 45 minutes away from Orlando. So, in Nome, Alaska, what they have is a glamper kit available. Let's see. They have a glamper kit available. Oh, here we go. Here is a one-bedroom, one-bath house. All right, there's a one-bedroom, one-bathroom trailer for rent, washer, dryer, hookups, AC. Okay. And this is up in Nome, Alaska. So what I like about Facebook Marketplace, it's got quite a bit of range to it. $695. That's up in Nome, Alaska. All right, so let me go to the phone lines here so see what Chris has got for us. But anyway, Fridays and Mondays, we're going to either find something to buy, fix, upsell, or assemble and sell or build and sell. Anyway, Chris, good morning.
Good morning, L.A. You know, and I was sitting here while you were looking that up. I was loving it, you know, and you wind up finding some things. You found that 12 by 24. I was wondering if it had any descriptions that it was for $6,000.
Well, yeah, they do. I was shortcutting everything because, explain what you have for us, Chris. Because people, we're going to be doing some things, offerings that Chris has. And essentially, We can sell them right on Facebook Marketplace, and people can monitor remotely from wherever you are on the planet. You can monitor what we have for sale. So, Chris, go with what you're.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was sitting here thinking. You know, I can offer different packages, make them custom built for you. What I would offer now is I'm gonna call it a sleeping cabin. Remember we interviewed the preacher in California that was
Pastor Slade. Yeah, Pastor
Slade. Yep.
In El Cajon, yep. California, right.
And he's got sleeping cabins. And that's exactly what I have here, is I'm offering a sleeping cabin. And if you get to assemble it, or you can have the option of having it assembled. Now, if you buy it to assemble it, it comes to you, and, you know, you're getting the roof and the siding and the framing. Everything else you have to provide, it's your position. But you can get that. It would be 96 square feet. It would be 8 feet wide and 12 feet long. And anybody can assemble it. I promise it's not out of your realm. You just follow the ABC 123 way of building it, and you can get that for $2,500. And if you want it to be wider, and say you want a 10-foot, or if you want a 12 or a 16, you can have it. Those options are available to you. And it just comes down to, you know, of course, they get a little more expensive. If you want them taller, these will be with 7-foot sidewalls, not 8-foot. And the reason why is because 7-foot is plenty enough room for you to be able to go in there and have what you need to have made. If you do want it to be taller, then the cost will be, you know, a differential. But it's not changing that much. So if you want it to go to 8 feet, you're basically going to be going up about $300. If you want it to be 9 or 10, you're going to be looking at going up another $500, $600, $700. And now you can have something that's really tall, and you're just on the same footprint. You're actually gaining space because now you can put a loft in. So anytime that you can utilize one space for multi-purpose, you're going to get more out of it. And if it's going to be an ADU, if it's going to be an Airbnb, most people are doing these for the extra income from an Airbnb and without having to put up with, you know, someone actually moving in and living on your property. But do know that there's money either way. The difference is the Airbnb, you have to clean up every day and get ready with the new stuff right. For the new people. And you don't have to do that if you're helping someone move their self forward with a place to live. And if you look at, you know, investing $5,000, $10,000 into your property and be able to bring in anywhere from $1,000 a month and up, you know, we have what we interviewed a guy that's in LA. He has 2 Airbnbs. He was a police officer, and he stopped being a police officer because he's bringing in $9,000 a month with the 2 little houses in his backyard.
Oh, yeah. You know? I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And these are, Ansel. You know, these are just.
Yeah, Ansel's his name.
Yeah, Ansel. It's been a while since I heard the name. I haven't talked to him in a while, but I haven't.
Yeah,
he's
got a unique
name.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know what? The thing that got me the most out of him was he realized that he could retire from putting something in his backyard. And now we have the opportunity through the show here. So if there's anybody listening, you know, and if you're in any one of these states, if you're in New York, we'll build you one in your backyard, and we can do it for nothing. Won't cost you a dime. If you got one, if you got land in California and you want an ADU, we'll give you a $40,000 credit. you could have it for nothing, but if you want more, it might cost you a little bit. But right now we can offer houses to these people. I know these two states. There's 15 of these states that are doing this. These are two that I know of. So just so people know that you are allowed in California in any property to have an ADU, and we will offer it to you with a $40,000 discount. And in New York, I'll build you one. It won't cost you nothing. They will pay 100% of the bill. That's, to me, is an amazing opportunity. And it could be adapted throughout the states, because this is a way to set up solutions in every community, but getting the community involved. That's what we're supposed to be anyway. You know, we're not supposed to just go take care of our own every day. We're supposed to realize that everything around us, you know, is us. And we can make it safer for people. We can a lot less stress, but it also will less stress you. But those are just two things that I do know. There is an opportunity there just for them. And, you know, creating the 781. Getting seven people together, 8 hours in one house, or a greenhouse, or a combination of the two. Can you imagine spending a weekend and building a veteran a home or a family a home to live in, and then turn around the next day with that family and build a greenhouse? Now that greenhouse can be learned to be tended to by these people that just moved into it, but now they provide food for you in the community. See, they came in and they become something. They have more of a purpose there than you did, because you didn't provide the food for the community. So, you know, a little food for thought, you know, just anything can happen here. It's just whether or not the initiation, and it does happen. Now, what I would say is, if you want a house that's not 96 square feet, but you want to say 150, then you're going to be looking at spending $4,000. If you want that thing to be twice that and bring it up to the 300 square feet, you can have a bathroom, a kitchen, a living room, and a bedroom, all separate in that 300 square feet. And be comfortable. And when you look at a 300 square foot situation, I would say you're going to have, I will let that package go right now today for $7,000. I'm going to save you a little money, because you're still going to be spending a little bit if you want that. You got to spend it for the extra parts. I'm not going to ship you the toilet. I'm not going to ship you the bathtub. I'm not going to ship you the sink. I'm giving you everything but that. But it's there. The space is there. Everything gets put in place. And the holes are already drilled for you to put the plumbing and the electrical in anywhere you want to. So you don't have to worry about all that. You just put it where you want it and put it, and you assemble it. And if you want it assembled, just add $10 a square foot to it, and we'll put the frame together for you. So if you want that $2,500 and you want it assembled, $3,500, it'll be staying in there. And what that'll do is that will be able to set it up so we can set up the 781. We're going to get seven people to show up for 8 hours and do that, even if we pay them.
And Chris, I'm looking at, like, I'm checking out places. This Facebook Marketplace is a tremendous tool. I'm looking in Alpine, Texas, where it is an RV available for sale for $450. Of course, what you matter of fact, what's the Give us a location where we can get one of these kits, Chris.
Well, I've got a factory in Louisiana, Southside Lafayette, and, you know, we can deliver.
Okay,
if you're in Texas, if they're in Texas, though, I do have factories in Texas, and which Louisiana ain't that far. It just depends on where in Texas you'd be, whether I'd want to pull it out
well,
of Louisiana.
Well, now, let's see. Now, the one in Louisiana, factory in Louisiana, is it, what's the closest to, I'm going to name the cities, New Iberia, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, Sulphur, or Shreveport, or Port? Where?
I'm not sure. Lafayette?
Well, what I got on this map on Facebook Marketplace is Shreveport, Sulphur,
okay.
Louisiana, New Iberia, Louisiana, Baton Rouge, and New Orleans.
Liberia. Liberia sounds right.
New Iberia. Okay, let me put it there. And, but here's a two-bedroom, one-bathroom house, $700. Here's a camper for $650.
Where's that two-bedroom? Let's look back at that two-bedroom house real quick. Where's that at?
$700. Now, that's attached to the ground. That's firmly attached to the ground.
Okay. Wow.
It's got like a little garage to it, and they want $700 a month for it. Well, the point I'm making is there's a whole bunch of places. We don't have to be restricted to anything geographical.
Right. Yeah, you're finding it everywhere. I mean, you just punch it in, there's something going on. And I'm gonna start putting these packages out there after I was listening to you, you know, talk about Facebook Marketplace, and I'm gonna post pictures of what they, you know, what they look like, and
put on Facebook
like.
Marketplace. Now here's I'm looking at an RV, $750. They're asking for the 2006 A-liner 30-foot trailer. And they've got, exterior pictures. It's a fixer-upper, though. But that's what that lady, Vanessa, she, $2,500, she got her tie-ins. Now, you can take it another way. You can fix something up, have no plans on living in it, and she probably could retail that or even sell it at a good price. If she came out of her pocket and totaled $2,500, including the $200 to get the trailer, she could probably easily sell that thing for, definitely $5,000. I'd say up to $10,000. Moving condition.
Yeah, I would say 10,000. Because
10,000.
I found a teardrop trailer. Now that meant you were crawling into it. You couldn't stand up in it. It had no kitchen and stuff. It was a sleeping thing on a trailer. It was only about 10 feet long, if it was that long. And that thing was $30,000. I couldn't believe it. 30 grand.
Now, here's an idea, Chris. Now, because we do have this Facebook marketplace. Let's say we found, instead of concentrating on one market, let's take this lady. She found a camper for $200. But imagine if we found five campers at $200. And we're talking about five campers in five different locations and just didn't do anything to them at all and resold them with a markup of maybe a couple hundred bucks. So, like I say, every every Friday and Monday, we'll put stuff out there, and people, you have a choice if you want to participate in it or not. And like I say, some of these will, well, quite a few probably, will be assemble and sell, build and sell. But then some are just, that's what I used to do on, eBay. We used to buy bank foreclosures and put them on eBay without doing anything to them. They were all fixer-uppers. So, and that was, I mean, it was no such thing as Facebook Marketplace back then. So,
Now, one of the thoughts for me here is when we find those trailers, you know, we find these things, these campers and these things. Now, a lot of them, you know, they're made very cheaply, okay? Do understand that. The interiors of them, you know, they if they get a roof leak, they just start deteriorating and falling apart. Now, you can go in with that. If you have something with a good frame, it has the tank to capture the water, you know, the sewer, the system's there. You basically have a hunk of junk sitting on top of it. You can actually frame that in with real framing and close that in at a very economic rate. But when you're done with it, you have something worth $25,000, $30,000. So
great,
keep that in mind.
Suggestion.
We're buying a trailer for $200, and we pull the windows out of it. We pull the door off of it, because we can put it right back on what we're about to build. So you take the windows out. You take, because they already have them. If it's already there, utilize what's there, but take it apart and build the frame, not out of a little 1x2, but build it out of a 2x4. Build it better. You know what I mean? Build it stronger.
Right.
It's not that it's really much heavier, but you're getting a lot more strength out of it, but you're building something that's solid, and you already have the platform. You know, those trailer frames are expensive. They are a very costly thing. So just picking up those trailer frames give us something to build off of.
Right. Okay, so now, Chris, give us the stair-step prices on these, on the kits.
So 96 square feet you can get for $2,500. It will give you the frame, and it will get, and if you tell me what windows and stuff you want to put in your thing. I'm not figuring windows and doors because I don't know. Maybe you want a big sliding glass door in the front of it. You get that choice. You get, but for $2,500, you'll get the siding and the roof and the framing material for a 96 square foot building. And for $4,000, you can get a 150 square feet. And for $300, you can get one for $7,000 today. I figured I would push that one because that one can make better change for people. But what you have there is when you stand that up, this is how the multiplicity of real estate works. That pile of material, once it's stood up, it's worth four times that amount of money. So when you're building a house, just know you buy the material, it's sitting there. By the time you're done, it'll be worth eight times that pile of material.
Right.
So that's the value you're getting, but what part of it do you want to do? And if you want it constructed for you, then we're going to add $10 a foot to it. So we will give you the components put together, but that will cost you an extra $10. If you want us to totally stand it up, you just figure then that's going to cost you an additional $10. So we will assemble it for you and ship it to you. So that way you don't have to build it. You just have to pull it out and stand it up. The walls are built. Or you know, that's not bad for $1,000. You want the building. You know what I mean? You got $3,500 in it. That's all you got to do is stand up four walls in 2 hours and be done having the siding and the roofing on it. It's up to you.
Right. Okay. All right, well, well, we'll start rolling that out. And anything else you want to add on, Chris?
I don't think so. I see that, you know, we're coming into spring, and I'm liking the spring forward of this, talking every Monday and Friday on starting these projects and doing these projects. And I think this could be the initiative if we offer people to build them for them, and we bring the 781, and we actually take people in the community, pay them to show up and do it, learn how to do it. And now maybe they might decide they want to do it, keep on doing it. But if people want to pay to have them built, this way we can pay people and not volunteer them. You know, this ain't asking people to just say, go find seven friends to do it. This is saying, we'll bring seven friends. You know, but these people are going to be paid to do it.
Matter of fact, I'm poking around here some more. Let's see. I'm taking it back to Florida. Now, I know of people that are in foreign countries. I just tried to look up something overseas. I had to play, because I've really never played around with Facebook Marketplace. But I know people that live in different parts of Africa that they make their living as wood carpenters. They make something, they put it right on Facebook Marketplace, and they sell. That's how they sustain themselves. So we may as well start using that as well.
Yes, sir.
Let's see. Jasper.
Oh, I do want to make an announcement. There is a store that we are opening up in Chicago on 95th Street. It will be, there will be virtual links to where people can order, you know, buy things that we have in the store. We have brand new items from like IKEA and Target and different stores that we're going to be selling in the store. It's going to be fundraising for a cause. We're also going to be setting it up as an art gallery. I have two art galleries. I wound up running into a gentleman that owns two art galleries. And we're going to be doing our art virtually. And if there's any artist out there that's listening and you would like to be part of this, this is a way you can make money selling your art, but also give back to helping get people off the street and on their feet. And I'm really excited that we just had to pay. The health inspector came in, made us replace. We had to tear up some concrete. They had PVC pipe in the concrete. There was a supply lines. It's got to be copper. So we had to get that tore out. Now, this is a blind man that's getting told all this stuff. And I wasn't there with him. And we got a plumber to come over. They tore it up, replaced the pipe, replaced the toilet. And then, of course, we owed him $250 for him to come back and finish setting the toilet and be done. So when we got that done yesterday, happy to say, but the blind gentleman got told by the health inspector that this tile needed to be replaced. And the blind man laid the floor yesterday. And he even waxed it. Now, he tells me last night, he said, man, you got to see it. when this man tells me to come see what he sees, you know, I took off and drove 2.5 hours because I had to see what a blind man saw. And he showed me. Uh-huh. He opened my eyes. You know, so this man does have vision, but he can't see nothing. But just to know, he has the mindset that he can do anything. And I've witnessed the man hanging plywood over windows. So boarding up houses. This guy changing a water heater. just wanted to encourage some people out there. You know what I mean? This is real. But he was asking. He was just asking me. He says, "I wished you were here with me," because what he's going through right at the moment is a little hard on him. So I'm trying to get some people to come over and help him get it set up. They're picking up the stuff today and bringing it to the store. The store will be opening on the 9th.
Okay. I got a question for you. I just ran across this Facebook Marketplace. It's a repo cabin. Somebody repossessed a 12x24 cabin. $1 per month.
How much?
Yeah, somebody would. If a person decides to rent, what do you suggest? Is what do you look for? Because there are a number of companies out here that do repossess cabins and sheds. Believe it or not.
Really. And it's showing, I mean, they got them on there for sale, you know, showing it. So how much was that
right.
one? I didn't hear that amount of money. $167.
Now, I'm figuring $367 a month. I'm figuring what they left out in this particular ad is the purchase price. See, that's
right.
Why I'd rather teach people how to build or assemble. Because you got these companies that they'll sell you a shed or a cabin, let's say for $30,000, $40,000, what have you. But they'll get you in the door by saying, "Well, it's only $100 a month payment."
Right.
Yeah, I'd rather pay for the kit up front, and you don't have no debt attached to it.
Exactly, and that's the way. Even if it was the small debt, say you finance this situation, and that $2,500 cost you $3,000. Okay, but you have that. Now, what if you turn that around and it started? Say you spent another $1,000 over the next month. Buying your little components that went with it, but next month you were able to get $1,000 out of that, just because you rented it out five times.
Right.
5 days.
Oh well, you know
you
now that, if you do an Airbnb and you're selective about your rentals, yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, you're talking about money. You know what I mean? I mean,
right.
How do you want to get your money? And if you looked at you rent it one time a month, that would pay your payment of the $5,000 you got borrowed, to put
right.
all your little odds and ends in it. So say you got $5,000 in it and you rent it one day, that makes your payment. We know that you're taking care
right.
of it. Anything else you do, pay toward the principal. And then you don't have the payment, and then it's all your money in 4 or 5 months, very simply. And a lot of people, you got good enough credit, you can get at least 90 days, same as cash. And if you work with the right people that help you market what you're doing, and if you put it on Airbnb, boom, you've got it being marketed through their website, through all search engines
right.
it's going to. So, you have to look at those kind of things. I was wondering, like Roku TV has a Roku Ads Manager. I wanted to discuss it with you. If we wound up running an ad and it was a commercial and it sat here and ran on every television that was watching that show and the other shows that's on Roku, because it pops across all their channels. You can be watching any one of their shows, but the ads that you see are the same ones. And
right.
one of them that I see is the Lincoln Log Masters. And so,
I think I saw a video of that on YouTube, yeah.
It's the same thing. And a lot of people,
And Roku is gaining in popularity.
Yeah, definitely. And
I was in Walmart one time last year, and Roku had they were set up in Walmart. Roku.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I got I was gonna say there is an open house in Orlando today.
Orlando? What time is that in the location?
It is at 4147 North John Young Parkway, Lot 9, Orlando, Florida, 32804. And it is today and tomorrow. So if you miss it today, don't think that you can't make it out tomorrow, but definitely come out and see, you know, what we do have for you to see. I think you'll be more than pleased. And know that these things that we're offering here don't have to be a house. It could be a business. You know, it could be a combination of what you're able to get your community to now start creating by having hobbies and doing these different things. That's the thing we're not doing, you know. We're just not looking and figuring out, you know, what life is really about. It's more about just going home at 9:05. I'm done. I got to sleep. You know, it's over. I don't care. I'm going to get up in the morning and go do this again. We're kind of in a routine rut of things, but we're, you know, this is just an introduction to different things, right? It's why we have these discussions, just to just give people thoughts. But definitely, you know, I'd love for people to go out to the open house. Please, you know, share it with others. Maybe they'll go out to the open house. And tomorrow, you know, it is open. Last week it got rained out, so we only had, I think, 9 people came last week. But it was raining during it. That's why we decided to do 2 days this week.
Okay.
But I wanted to talk to you about us doing some models and putting them at this location. I have room. I have space to where we can sell them online every day, do our live broadcast from it. As they leave, new ones come in, and this could be the thing because it's also right on the highway, so you're getting some exposure from.
Right. Well, just like what's his name? Well, now we can say 2 people, just like Randy Jones and like Vanessa. She's not doing anything production wise. Not for other people, but she's out there every day. So we have something out there every day for sale. That's the business model to go with.
Right.
And Randy Jones puts up 3 to 5 a day. Well, that's what he builds. And Vanessa just goes with one little, but she's just doing it for herself. But the thing is, she's consistent with daily videos. So.
Right.
Wait a minute. We're almost out of time here for today. So I'll be in touch with you over this weekend. And like I said, we got a pickup project that we started last year. We got to complete it this year. Probably make 2 of them and sell one and just see how that goes. And we also need to discuss the different platforms to sell on. You know, you got YouTube, Facebook Marketplace, you got Etsy, you got eBay, you got, Craigslist, and some others I probably don't know about or haven't named. So on that note, everyone have a good rest of the weekend.